kind of situate this, maybe like there, and that should pick you up pretty well.
But I will try not to pay attention to it. Oh, I'm like, yes, and...
So why don't you tell me about your book, first of all, because
that sounded really intriguing. Okay. I'm now taking a graduate course at Harvard Extension to try and write this stupid thing. And I'm still not writing it as much as I can. It's like writing the novel is the course title because
I
thought, well, I'm going to write my novel now, finally. And I've been writing it for about...
Is it a novel form?
That's what's complicated. I mean, the way I see it, it can't... The forms that exist, the novel would probably be the easiest to call it. I mean, you wouldn't want to call it an autobiography because that's... I don't want to call it that because I don't see it as that singular. I don't see anything as that singular. And then you don't want to call it memoirs because it's not just memories. It's kind of something else. And for a while it was going to be, you know, fiction, and I was absolutely going to call it fiction. But now I've decided that I don't want it to be fiction because I decided that one should be able to find the truth that one finds in fiction and the completeness and the sort of feeling of meaning in a real life. So then I was like, okay, everything I write has to be true, really true, not that fiction true that everybody talks about where it is true, but it's not true. So now that's kind of where I'm going from it, is everything in it is true, but then I also kind of wanted to add in childhood, because I've decided that childhood is this place where you don't really know what's real and what's... I mean, you do know what's real and what's not, but your imagination is so vivid, and your belief about what the world is absolutely how you live. So I decided that the parts in the book about myself when I was a child, or about the other main character when he was a child, can be fictional because I don't know those parts. Like, I don't know the reality of that. Like, I can't... There is no... It was such a constructed reality when you're young and you live within it. So I decided that those parts can be imaginary. But I'll say, you know, these parts can be imaginary. Let them go. So that's what I've been writing. And what it's really about is... It starts off, a deer when trapped, its forests on fire around it, circles slow, then lays down. This is how the boy slept. It's a preservation of, one needs to surrender, it is a preservation of faith. And I guess, to me, that's what the whole book is about, even though that sentence is about a boy sleeping in a deer in a forest fire. But,
can you say that again? I just want to absorb that.
Okay, a deer, I'm like, well, yes, I can. I've said it to myself many times.
Okay.
A deer when trapped, its forest on fire around it, circles slow, then lays down. This is how the boy slept. One needs to surrender. It is a preservation of faith. If, and now that's making me really sad because so much has changed since the first time I wrote that. But it still holds true, which is pretty good.
So, a deer, when trapped with a forest on fire around it, circles and lays down?
No, it's like a deer when trapped, comma, its forest on fire around it, comma, circles slow. So it's the deer that circles slow.
Okay.
Then lays down, period. Or then lies down, whatever the proper... My mother always yells at me because I use the improper form.
So that's the first...
That's the first sentence. And so it seems like it's about a boy, but it's actually about a girl who... He loses his parents when he's very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has kind of an external loss, which to me at first was kind of like the, you know, forest... If you can't... It is kind of like a forest fire. It's like your world is... You see your world as being destroyed around you, so you just lay down because you feel there's nothing you can do. And that's how I saw this person. And it made me angry that he was like that. But then there is this other side to it where it's something noble, because sometimes there really is nothing to be done. But in his case, there is something to be done. But in her case, she comes to find out there isn't. And she's the one, she has cystic fibrosis, except I don't really name it. I can't decide whether I'm going to name it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of want to, but I'm not sure what, like, the popular... Because I know I had some odd opinions about what cystic fibrosis is.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, stereotypes or visions of what it, you picture children, or you picture kind of hunched over young men, or you know, it's like you have all these visions of, or girls who, like, can't breathe. And that's not what, even though that's all a part of the reality of it, and even though I want all of that in the book somewhere, I don't know if I want it named, because I don't want to take it out of the realm of everyone. You know, it's like, what's so interesting about cystic, you know what I mean? It's like you don't want to say these are only people with cystic fibrosis.
Put a label on it. Yeah.
People be like, oh, that's awful. And they're like, no, you don't get it. Like, this is you. We will all be here someday. The only, like, oddity of cystic fibrosis is it's, like, right when life sort of turns, when you're, like, 20, like, 17 to 25, at least for a lot of people. Some people are very healthy, you know, and some people get sick a lot younger. But for kind of the mainstream as things are now, it's so strange. You start to get very sick when your whole world is starting to really prosper. It's like all of your friends,
mm.
It's like that age where people start to go out, they graduate from college, they fall in love, they have jobs, they want to be happy, they decide what reality is, you know, I mean, like, I hear my friends talk, and they're like, oh, I think I understand, you know, this is great, I'm going to do this, and you're stuck. It's like you're held back. So a big theme in the book is that is stepping out, and even before she becomes ill, she always would tend to step out. Like, she would be in a party, or she would be with someone, or she would be in a room full of people, and she would, like, physically remove herself just to see what it would be like, how it is without her, without just how it is, you know, and how it continues, no matter what, which is what she sees. And then it's funny because as she gets older, she's actually forced to step out, which is really, it's a lot about kind of the first half of a life where you think it's all in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I was talking about with childhood. It's like that naivety, that innocence, that you think you can exact your will and that you've created this. And then it's all about growing older too, and you realize, no, it's not in your hands at all.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, outside forces or internal forces dictate your world, your fate, your actions, your feelings, more than you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the end, they can take your life. And what the painful thing is, in the middle, the climax of the novel is this boy who had lost his parents and this girl who knows she may be sick someday but isn't sick yet, they have a conversation in a coffee shop in New York, and he says, I would love to have a baby, but they're very young. He's like 17, she's 20, and he's like, I would love to have a baby with you because if anything ever happened to you, I would love to be able to say to it, your mother was a really neat lady, like, she was really great. And instead of doing that, they completely go the opposite direction. Like, he goes off to Russia and she does something else. She gets so angry at him for saying it, and then, like, 5 years later, she's sick, and she realizes, like, that was a life that was meant for her. And she realizes there are lives meant for you, and it is possible to turn away from them, and you don't know it, which is, like, really, it's pretty tragic. So it's kind of the tragic part. And she realizes that was meant for us. And now, but time does, it just makes her understand how time works, how history, you know, how it is that people look back and what it is.
So she has the romance with him before she discovers that she's sick?
Right. I mean, she always knows she has this thing that will happen.
Oh, because it's genetic.
Right, because it's genetic.
Yeah.
So no matter how healthy you are, you're still...
You know that...
You know that something is happy, is there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right, but you're outrunning it. And that really is how doctors treat you and how your parents treat you and how society treats you. They're so proud. And it's like, it really is like it's like you are outrunning it. You are beating it. It's like, they say, well, cancer patients, you know, it's like, it's not just cystic fibrosis. It's like anyone who has an illness, and people say, oh, you're fighting it. Oh, you're, it's very American. It's very, you know, it's like, yeah, beat it. And then you get sick and you're like, wait, is there, have I done something wrong? You know, did I not, what happened? I was outrunning it, you know? And it's just, it's like your whole, you have to either change your whole view or really feel like you failed, you know? So it's a really hard transition. Plus you're sick, so you don't have as much energy, so it's even harder to make the transition because you're like, I don't even have energy to think.
So tell me, get away from the book for a second, getting into you, how old were you when you realized you weren't outrunning it anymore? And how old were you when you even realized that you had this thing that might happen?
Well, I knew, I think my whole... No, when I was a kid, it's like you really did think, like, nothing would ever go wrong. So, but I knew, I mean, I remember my actions. I remember, not my actions, but my attitude. I remember my, like, I was always very passionate. I got angry very easily. I mean, I was never unfair, but I would get, injustice really got me. Like, if anything was unjust, like, or cruel, like, if people would try and hurt animals or boys, I remember, but I would punch boys if they tried to hurt animals. I got in trouble a couple times. But it was like, I knew that there was some immediacy to life, I guess. That's all I knew. I don't think I had an understanding of anything other, and that, you know, and you had to fight. That's sometimes. And you had to love things. I always loved things way too much and way too instantly. Like, I would fall in love with my kindergarten class at as soon as I got in it, and I wouldn't want to leave, and everybody was like, she has some trouble with transitions. So it's kind of like you love immediately. Anyway, so that's kind of that's youth for me. I mean, I don't know how it is for other people. I'm sure other people deal with these things differently. And it depends on how your parents are. I mean, my parents were like, okay, you know, we don't know how long she'll live, so let's just my mom was like, it was like make a wish at foundation every day. It was like, we'll give, you know, it wasn't like they gave me material things, but there was always love. There was always love and time, and trying to let me do whatever I was really passionate about, and so that kind of fostered this feeling.
And then, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lexington.
Oh, okay.
So not far at all. And that was fun. I liked being little. I hated middle school, but I think everybody hates middle school. Because I started being, sucked. I hate it.
Yeah.
I do not include middle school in my book. I'm like, we're skipping that part.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to boarding school at Exeter, which was a big change. But I think that's the first time, it was good, it was totally my idea. And I mean, my parents supported it, but they were like sad to see me go, but they came up every weekend. They lived an hour away. So, it was good. Come on.
How are we doing?
Hello, good.
Anything?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Thank you. So that was good, but that's when I started going into the hospital. I remember the first time I was in the hospital was like fifth grade. And then it was like 2 years
later. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, to get back to your question.
Oh, okay. I thought you were considerably older than that. Okay.
No, I came in, but I was very, you have to know, like, my PFTs were, like, that's a pulmonary function test, where you just blow into machines, how they gauge what's happening with your lungs, and they were, like, 140% of what was predicted, you know, like, I was really healthy, and when I went in the hospital for the first time, it was just because they dropped a little, and so I was still, like, 120%, you know what I mean, it's like, I never was sick. It was just the doctors being careful, being like, we don't want her to go any lower. I had a great doctor, Dr. Waltz. He still works here.
What's his name?
Dr. Waltz, David Waltz. I love him.
W-A-L-T-Z. Oh,
like
okay.
The dance.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
But, he was great. And, anyway, so I would come in like every Tuesday. I remember being upset about it, but kind of coming to accept it, especially in high school. It was like, well, this is just the way it is. Of course, I was also very angry and kind of nuts in high school, but I'm not sure if that's... It's always very confusing what of your emotions is about your life, mm-hmm. and what of your emotions is about the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in high school and you're so upset, everything is new, you know, you're upset about everything.
Right.
It's right. Like, this is horrible, this is horrible. It's like your life and your health is the last thing you think about. Mm-hmm. You're so busy thinking of so many other things.
When you say the world?
Well, injustice and...
Oh.
Books and people you've meet. I mean, that's when I always meet incredible, you know, the first, second, and third person I fell in love with. You know, it's like...
Right.
That's really when that happens. And it's so much about talking to people and connecting with people that it's like you don't really concentrate on yourself much.
Hmm.
I guess. And yet you're very self-involved at the same time, but it's in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are self-involved. It's confusing. You're certainly self-involved because you don't really do much for other people, and yet I remember doing anything for the people, like what they wanted and what they... I would do anything for them, like my friends or boys, one boy in particular. It's like I think your sense of self really becomes secondary. And I think that was very easy, because it's much easier to put kind of those who are in front of you before yourself, especially when, if you think about yourself, you feel kind of lost because you don't know. That's the thing about cystic fibrosis, which I think is amazing, is you don't know. Like, you really don't know. Like, doctors don't know. It's not... It can be predicted on a very broad scale, but for individual cases, it's like you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes people get better, sometimes people don't.
Mm.
And it's always... And that really is the reality of it.
Mm.
Sometimes people go through years not feeling well, and then they get better. It's like... But you don't know, and sometimes they never, you know, they just go down, 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 down. And you don't... So in that way, it's like a microcosm of kind of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never are at ease with, you know, what's going to happen. Which is interesting. I'm sure some other, lots of illnesses are like that, but... Not all illnesses are inherent. I mean, it will never go away. You know, cancer has that same uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it goes. It comes and it goes if it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that, although it can always come back, which is kind of a fear, but like, you know, there's a chance it will go away.
Right.
Whereas this, it's like, it will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a lot of getting used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was college, and I was pretty healthy through college. And really, it was just the past 2 or 3 years that I've just have not been getting better. I mean, I'll get a little better, but not, you know, it's pretty much, I feel tired and sick all the time. It's like the first time I've been in the hospital every few months. It's been driving... Well, now I've gotten kind of a little bit used to it, but it still drives me nuts, because I feel like, because it's kind of put me in this place of immobility. I feel like I cannot do anything.
Mm.
It's really hard. It really creates a lot of anxiety, and because
mm-hmm.
it's almost like you're waiting for someone to tell you, okay, now you can do something.
Mm.
But no one will ever tell you that, so you just have to do it. But it's very hard to do anything when you're scared, what if it doesn't get done? But that's so stupid. So then you never start it, when already I could have written like 3 books if I had just started, but it puts you in this kind of fear. It's like I talked to this kid upstairs. I never talk to people because I'm never allowed out of this stupid room. So we always have to talk to each other like really far away because of precautions and stuff. Now we all have...
Oh, I thought you were move around.
Oh, I can go out and in, but I have to stay at least 3 feet away from anyone with CF.
Oh, I see.
And I have sepatia, so I always feel really... I would never want to give... And it's as soon as I got this that things started to go downhill. I mean, it's a new... It's called Burkholderia sepatia, which is definitely going in the book because it's such an amazing name.
What is it?
Burkholderia sepatia. And it's a kind of bacteria. B-U-R-K... H-O-L-D-E-R-I-A in space C-E-P-A-C-I-A?
Sepatia?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's kind of a bacteria?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Is this a lung?
Right. I mean, it's found in people with CF. We have, like, bacteria that grow in, you know, in people with cystic fibrosis. That's the whole thing. That's what causes... the lung problems. It's actually, the disease itself is about balance and about water and chloride absorption into cells. So it's funny, everyone thinks it's a lung disease, but actually it's not. It's this balance of fluid in your body and salt, which is pretty amazing, which is, you can romanticize that, I think, make it very metaphorical. But, and that, what happens is the mucus, which is disgusting, gets thicker, and that attracts bacteria to grow in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what happens. And there's this new kind of bacteria that was found a few years ago. And, like, when it was found, it wiped out 20% of the people that it came into. It was, like, horrible. I cannot imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine what the doctors went through. I mean, can you imagine, like, having just 20% of your patients just die? I know. It must have been really... horrible. So, yeah. So here I am with that.
So you still have that?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away.
So you can keep it under control. But
you can, you can try and keep it under, exactly, but it doesn't go away. Which is what is so menacing. So yeah, so that's new. And, oh, and that brings me, I was upstairs talking, kind of 20 feet away from this kid, and I don't even know his name, but he's always very nice to me. Like, he'll see me, and he has one of those raspy, typical cystic fibrosis voices that, like, if you ever see a character on a sitcom that has CF, I know 7-7 had one, they always have them talking like this. Really funny. I'm like, fuck you. But, so he's like, are you going home soon? And I was like, oh, I don't know. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'd like to go home Saturday. I was like, okay, and I kind of walked away, and I was like, do you want to go home? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I don't know either. Because you get here, and at least, I don't know, it's just so confusing. You get here, and at least they're trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you go home, it's just gonna, you're just gonna start getting sicker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's very confusing. And at least when you're here, you don't have to remember that you have a life. You know, it's like you can just be a patient of an organism almost. But you gotta fight. You gotta realize you hate that, which happens. But it's easy. I mean, it's like when you're so... Yeah, that's kind of the lowest of the low, that feeling. Like, well, I'll just forget I have a life. But
do you get caught up in being a patient, being here? Is that what you mean, or are you just
safer? It's like I don't know. It's constant. It's familiar. Somehow you can trick yourself into thinking they're still doing something. You know, like it's like maybe they're gonna. I'll feel better.
Can you just give me? I'm so many questions are coming up as I listen to you. Just before I forget, can you just kind of tell me, so when you finished college, it was when you started coming here pretty
really frequently.
So it would be every few months, and then for how long would you be here?
Like two to 3 weeks, and now it's like 3 weeks always.
Hmm.
In fact, it's 3 weeks tomorrow. This will be even longer than 3 weeks. I know some people stay a long, long time, but I don't... that's not as common, but yeah. What else?
So how can you keep your life going?
Right.
Every few months you're sort of out of picture for 3 weeks.
That's the thing. It's like you can't... Right. Well, luckily the things I love are like art and writing.
Mm.
So you can bring them with you or you can do them in a stop and start. And luckily I have parents who, you know, are willing to help support me so that I don't have to worry about keeping a full-time job. I cannot imagine having to work all the time. It's like, I'm so tired. I cannot, I mean, I get part-time jobs and I work in the mornings,
mm-hmm.
and, but they're usually like, you know, I was working at an orchard, which is really nice. But it's never anything, you know, you can't invest yourself in some corporate, you know, you feel like you can't really become a part of some place that really needs you because you're always gone.
Mm.
So you kind of, I find you just have to work. But I've never been so invested in the that aspect of society, like the get a job, and so it doesn't bother me so much. It's
right.
Like, well, you know, I'll work at the orchard. I'll get some help from my parents. Maybe I'll sell a painting. It's like, that doesn't get me it. But what does get me is not being able to, like, see my friends, not being able to have a place to go every day with people who are, like, you know, on the same level as me. And that would be nice. That would be a good reason to have a job. Like, if you could find, you know, teaching or something. And that can be depressing. Because it's very isolating. It's isolating to be near. It's isolating out in the world. It's like... Your friends love you, but it's all very much at a distance.
Why is that?
They're busy. It's like people are busy.
Just in general?
Yeah. It really is that. And they're so young. It's like this is not the time of life where people have a deep... I mean, some people do, but I've just kind of chalked it up to, like, they're 24. It's like they don't have a deep corporeal understanding of what it is to care for another human being. It's like words are enough. Letters are enough, you know, like, they're busy. People that I don't think, and I know I push people away too, or have in the past. And I'm sure I'm still doing it, because I don't know, I don't, as a, even my own mother, it's like as much as all I want is someone beside me, my mom will try and touch me, and I'll be like, no. Yeah, it's a whole other day. It is.
Yeah.
I know. But it's like, that's the way I get. It's like, there is something to it, though, that you put up like a, just like, no. Why is that? What is my problem?
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand that. Sometimes
mothers can be
like a little...
Yeah, mothers can be a little, it's like, okay. But I still, I've come to feel guilty about that, because I've realized, like, oh, she's just trying to be nice, which makes me, but whatever, it's still continuing.
So you're 25, is that right?
24.
Oh, you're 25
January 1st.
Oh, okay. By the time this comes out, you'll probably be 25.
Yeah, I'll be 25.
January 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. Another reason I should be an incredible person and a failed life.
So you just had a hell of a birthday, you know, to turn
That was one of the most beautiful nights ever. Yeah. It was really good. I mean, it wasn't my night, but it was in New York, and it was so many people. It was just amazing. So it was good. I think that's where I want to go this January, actually. Because out of all the places, I really just love it. I don't know why. There's so many people you can't move, but afterwards it's the most beautiful. It's like, it's so beautiful. Everybody disappears. Like 10 minutes, half an hour after the ball drops, everyone's gone. It's insane.
I grew up in New York and I never ever did.
Are you serious?
I don't like big crowds.
Yeah, that is a big crowd. It's horrible.
And you always hear people get bombed.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
People used to go and sell stuff, you know, like.
Yeah. I don't actually like being in the... If you can find, like, a bar or a restaurant or a party, one of my friends used to throw this. He's kind of one of my Exeter friends, and he has the capability to do this. He used to throw this big party and rent out a restaurant, and that was really nice, because you avoid the whole insanity, but you get to be there, and then you walk out into it if you want to, which is really nice. So that was great.
So let me see here. So when you're on the outside, what do you do? I mean, what's your life like when you're not in here?
Well, the past year has been, like, I've been kind of, for about a year, when I started getting sick, I did not do much. It was just like, I mean, people throw around the word depression, and I'm sure that I was depressed, but I'm kind of glad, or I'm not glad, maybe I could have done with some medicine, but I just didn't opt for that, and I couldn't do anything. I'd lost kind of the people who I'd been in love with, or so I felt, and it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I was getting sick.
Was that the boy? Who...
The boy,
yeah.
And then there was a girl also,
okay.
A woman actually, she
okay.
was older than me, but yeah, it was kind of like, everything I had kind of given my whole heart to had just